Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer, a man who's most likely wearing K-Swiss.
Jason, if you had a choice of being on a spaceship and exploring the universe and beyond, or being on a horse and like living and exploring in the Wild West, which one would you do?
Interesting question. Was having this conversation with, I think, I'd be exploring the Great West, you know, kind of like LeBron James.
Interesting. Okay. The LeBron James. Yeah. Those references go completely over my head. I don't know what LeBron James is doing.
No, you don't. Do you know what team he plays for?
No. Don't know. It changed recently. I mean, I was able to quickly scroll through some news update about that and ignore
and
it.
You don't know what, if you had to guess, what team would that be that he went to?
Something about the Lakers.
Okay, there you go.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
A YouTube video and they were joking about it, so I caught that. But yeah, anyway, that's interesting. The Wild West. I think.
You peg me for a spaceship guy?
I would go a spaceship because it would automatically imply that technology and health and stuff are much more advanced, so my living conditions would be much better. I think I would go with spaceship. Because I love to push buttons, LEDs that light up and stuff. Like, that sounds so much fun.
You love to float.
Yeah, that too. Anyway.
You love to eat room temperature ice cream sandwiches.
Now, this is like space, like, you know, year 3000 or something. You know, it's like things have advanced. You're exploring the universe kind of stuff, but anyway, that's here nor there. Today, I think we say this a lot, but we're going old school because Jason and I do not have a planned, organized list of things to talk about. Today, we're going to have an honest, upfront conversation about bidding and real-world examples and talking about the difference between manual bidding and automatic bidding. Jason, I think this is incredibly important because people see so much more of the automatic side of AdWords than we used to. When you build a campaign now, it tells you what do you want to focus on, you know, calls and conversions and sales. And then depending on what type of campaign template you choose, you can only build ads that certain way. I don't know if you've done that before, but if you choose calls is what I'm focusing on, you then can only do call-only ads. So you can't choose that kind of template and just have an open thing. So the stuff is very streamlined. You know, they narrow what your options are in order to make things easier for some people. So in the world of educated AdWords users, the people outside of that bubble that Google's trying to help, we need to be able to understand what is important and what to ignore and what to understand about this world of automation in AdWords. And one thing I get a lot when I do training with people is I hear people talk about automatic bidding. It's just such a confusing topic. And I'd say 90% of the time, people have automatic bidding in place. And if they have manual bidding, they're doing it wrong. They're confused by it. They don't understand what number to start with. You know, should I start with $1? Should I start with $10? Should I start with 50 cents? Which is not really the point. Bidding isn't about how much you choose. It's the ratio and the differences between what you choose. So I want to talk about this because I think it's very relevant to a lot of our listeners. And I see it all the time with people I talk with on audits and training and stuff like that. So Jason, is it something that, you know, you see a lot when you pick up a new campaign, you see this automatic bidding kind of stuff?
Well, when it comes to bidding, I would say it's probably the thing that makes me personally the most money in terms of me adding value and being valuable to people. And it's also the hardest thing for me to explain or teach other people. So when it comes to me making other people money and adding value, I've talked about it a few times, but I live under the threat of the gun, you know, not joking around. Like if I don't perform, people are taking me out. I work for those kind of people, you know, so the stakes are high. But every day they don't shoot me, they give me a bag of money. And the reason I get that bag of money, I think the thing, honestly, that makes me world-class on some of these accounts versus anybody else on the planet is the bidding work. Because lots of people can look at search terms and figure out what the negative keywords could be. Lots of people can come up with ad copy, look at good click-through rate. But there's something about the bidding that really drives the performance, the cost per lead. And that stuff's, it's in my brain, but it's hard to convey to other people. And I think it's also hard for a lot of people to do well. So if I had one kind of secret sauce when it comes to Google AdWords that I think is the most valuable to me, it's the bidding work. Because I see it directly drive the cost per lead. And when you get certain clients a good cost per lead, you're rewarded. So we don't talk about it a lot on here. I think we've only done one or two episodes about it. But if someone was to look at how I spend the majority of my week, the most time and the most serious time and the time that impacts everything, my success the most, is the time worked on bidding.
Wow.
That's kind of the biggest thing in my week.
Wow, I don't think I've ever heard you say it quite that.
And well, yeah, we don't talk about it very much, but I work on some very serious campaigns, and the stakes are high, and performance is judged very closely. And the way I get the performance, or sometimes don't get the performance and screw up, is through bids.
Wow.
Okay. And so I think it's the most important thing in AdWords, because, again, everything else, settings, ads, search terms, a lot of that stuff comes kind of easy. I mean, we all know, like, you shouldn't show up on certain kind of search terms, and some you should. And
yeah.
But it's really the bids. But bids are so, we're going to go through it. There's so much to talk about. Bids on pure broad keywords. Sometimes you should try automated bids and all that kind of stuff. So what I want to know from you, Chris, to start us off, is you said you had done some training of a photography client. What got you thinking about bids so intensely when you were doing that training?
Yeah, so here's, I think this is one of the best examples I have about the difference between the seeing an automatic bid system. So automatic bidding, which is target CPA, maximize conversions, maximize clicks, any of these that are outside of the manual bidding. And then what the difference is between that and manual bidding. So here's what happened. This particular client had a campaign that they wanted to try and dominate a certain search area with a certain type of set of keywords. So what we were doing is we had some keywords in place. Some were, you know, as we typically do, modified broad, some were phrase, some exact. Jason, it'd be very easy to guess which of those keyword types are going to get the most volume, right? I mean, modified broad is going to get the most volume compared to phrase and exact. You know, assuming that you have a modified broad that's two words, you know, like house painter or something like that, versus a phrase match that's house painter. So modified broad is going to get 10 times, 20 times the number of impressions because of the variations that it allows for in that match type. A phrase match is going to get, you know, maybe hundreds, 100, maybe 50 different variations. I mean, that's a stretch. So what happened is that automatic bidding lays out on a level playing field these terms, okay? And if you can imagine, in your mind's eye, lay out, you know, all these keywords and lay them out before you on a table. On this table, some of them may glow more brightly. And let's say the ones that are glowing more brightly are the ones that have the potential for higher impressions, the modified broad terms, okay? Now, this table is your bidding. And let's say you put automatic bidding on here and you have no conversions in place. You just have top of search page. You have maximized clicks. You have something that does not take into consideration conversions really at all. And which is the honestly the case for most people. Most people don't have over 15 conversions a month for Google to really use that data to make decisions about conversions, which is what you really need. Google says you need to have, you know, 13, 14, 15 conversions a month in data to be able for them to make good decisions about CPA bidding. So on this table, some are glowing more brightly because they get more. When you start bidding, everything's on a level playing field. And as bids start going on for this and active auctions start coming in, now what we're seeing is these ones that have potential to get more impressions, they're the ones that get more clicks. They get more spend. They get more of everything. And then because of that, these phrase match and exact, they may get nothing or almost little to nothing because the same search query that is house painter for modified broad could easily match for house painter for phrase match, but it's going to go to the modified broad because it matches to pretty much everything else. So everything can flow through that one keyword. And now what you have 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 years later, you know, it's going to be the same experience. No matter how long it's running, I've looked at campaigns with this going on for years or weeks or days. The instance is Google's going to pick the ones with the most volume. the reason for that is not because Google's doing a bad job. It's because what the system is built to do. The system is built to maximize clicks, get the most volume. And without human...
Based on the keywords you punch in.
Based on what keywords get the most. And if you give it a level playing field for everything, then it's going to go for what can get the most. And that's going to be those modified broad. And Jason, you know as well as I, when it comes to modified broad, sometimes they work, but a lot of times it's just a volumes game. I mean, there's just going to be more of everything. You're going to get competitor searches. You're going to get research stuff. You're going to get people looking for jobs and salary, all that kind of stuff. If it's wide open, you're going to get a lot of spin that's just not really relevant. The phrase match, the longer tail phrase match and exact, there's going to be less of those, but that's really where the quality comes in. This is a perfect example. When we swap to manual bidding, here's what happens. When you swap to manual bidding, you tell Google, this keyword has bid A. I'm not even going to use numbers here. Has bid A for modified broad. This keyword over here has bid A times two, and that's for phrase. And then this keyword over here, which is exact, this one has bid A times three. Now, this level playing field has been shifted. Now, there are three levels to this. There's top level, which has A times three, the medium level, A times two, and then the bottom level, which is just the modified broad, which is just level A. This is how you give Google preference over what is important to you as an advertiser. Instead of letting things just run on a level playing field, you give them preference, and those preferences are determined by just one simple thing. What that manual bid is. That's the easiest way I can lay out the difference and the value for an educated AdWords user who knows what's important to them as to why, you know, what the subtle difference is between. Now, this is not always the same for conversions. When you, like I said, if you have lots of conversions, sometimes these numbers can work really well with CPA bidding, but that's not always the case. If you don't have quite a few conversions coming in a month, then the data may not really be there for Google to make a better decision from one keyword to another. So Jason, does that make sense? I mean,
so when you get a,
go ahead.
You did. When you get your clients that you're training and they're still going to be managing their account and they take it seriously enough to hire you for training, do you ever tell them to leave maximize clicks or top of search page location on, or do you always recommend going manual if they're interested enough to be working on their account?
Yeah, good question. If they have an understanding beyond just, you know, how to do just the basic stuff, if they understand quality of traffic, if they understand that concept that the word house painter isn't as important as the word house painter Chicago, if they understand that concept, then absolutely I point someone to manual over automatic bidding. That's really the next step. And what surprises me, I see so many people fearful of it just because they don't know what bid A is. And then they don't know what bid A times two is. And that's why I use those letters and, you know, shortcuts, because I don't want to say $1 and $2, because that's not always the case. Right. It's just a matter of ratios. Start at one level, move to the next level, move to the next level. And it's always level of value for you as an advertiser.
Right. Well, let's talk about some automated strategies, because it's pretty clear. Like, I think we both think if you're active on your account, most of the time manual is the best way to go. But let's talk about when we do use automated and what some scenarios are to try automated. So a couple that come to my mind are maximize clicks and target search page location and then top of page. I think those are okay to start with if you don't know anything about where your bid should be. Like if you're starting a new campaign, and I know agencies who do this, Chris, they start off their campaigns on maximized clicks because they just want to, they have all their keywords in there. They're more valuable keywords, they're less valuable keywords, but they just want to see where the market kind of puts them and what they can expect. So they'll let that run for the first month. And to me, maximize clicks and target search page location is kind of the same thing for a new campaign, because you're really just telling Google, hey, you know, show me near the top. Let's get clicked on and start spending the budget. Now, one thing I will say, Chris, I almost never do it, any of these automated strategies, because I don't have the patience to let them prove themselves or work themselves out. I can't sit there on day one and two and three and watch the thing say learning and then show us spend spend $11 of a $100 budget, knowing that all we have to do is flip it to manual, push the bids up and we'll spend the full budget that day, that afternoon. So you got to have patience with maximized clicks and target search page location. But if you're trying to get information, if this photographer had no idea where to start her bids, that would be a good place to start. She could also add the columns, top of page suggested bid. That's a place to start, at least to get an idea. Do you have any other uses for maximized clicks or target search page location besides just learning the market?
No, for those two, okay. No.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, I don't really either. The only other time I could see them myself using them is when I know I'm doing everything I can do and a client just isn't happy or saying, hey, I know we can do better. Hey, I know we can do better. The only move I can pull at that point to really drastically change things is to go maximize clicks or target search page location and see what happens for a couple weeks and see if I'm just totally missing something.
Sometimes you can get lower CPCs. You know, you can get, right. You know, because the system can bid and knows how to get some lower cost per click. But I mean, I don't really get a whole lot of clients saying, Chris, you're doing great on conversions, but let's get that cost per click down. It's not right. Usually the conversation. They don't really focus on cost per click. So no, it's not something I find in my tool belt to use very much at all.
Right. Now, the next level of automation is instead of targeting clicks, it's targeting conversions. So in this case, Chris, we have a couple options, maximize conversions and then target CPA. I've got a couple areas sometimes I use this. What do you ever use these or recommend these to anybody?
Now, for me, I do. And I mentioned that in my quick little story I had. I find if there is a significant amount of conversion data, CPA bidding, maximized conversions is going to be really valuable. And I've found that something that can be super profitable for a client. And if they get enough volume, I'm talking, you know, like I said before, 15, 20 conversions or more in a campaign, Google will even suggest, hey, you should try maximize conversions. The way that I like to implement it is I do an experiment. I'll do a 50-50 split and I'll do a maximize conversions or CPA bidding and watch what happens with that. And like you said, I think you said it very well, that learning time can be super frustrating because you watch, if it's the kind of client or customer that's going to check those numbers every day, multiple times a day, you will see your results go down. They will get worse while it's in that learning phase because you'll spend less on your super profitable stuff. It'll pull 50% of the spend and then you'll get less productivity because it's splitting the impressions between the two. And then finally, it'll start to pick up, you know, get over that hump and finally now you may or may not get better CPA values. So I do like it for that reason. Have you ever tried something like that before? Is that something you try?
There's a couple of situations I tried in. One is where it's just hard not to try it sometimes because I do work on accounts that do get a ton of conversions. And you get notifications all the time from Google saying, hey, you should turn on target CPA bidding. You'll get 16% more conversions a month and your cost per conversion will go down 30%. And you're like, okay, that sounds pretty good. Like, I think I should probably try this. But when I've run it, Chris, sometimes it works well. Sometimes it doesn't work that well. I would not be surprised either way. One thing you really need to remember, people out there, and an experiment is a good way to test it. Once you flip it over to target CPA and you put your target cost per acquisition or cost per lead at the ad group level, your bids and ad groups will change to whatever Google thinks they need to be behind the scenes. Your bidding column goes away at the keyword level. So it's all at the ad group level, target CPA. But then if you go back to manual, Chris, you're going to be lost. And all the manual bid work you've done over time goes away. So you have to kind of start over. So that's a negative. Something people need to know, Chris, everyone knows I use a lot of device bid adjustments to manage my campaigns. And if you have, say, mobile plus 100%, that increases your bids on mobile by 100%. But when you switch it over to target CPA bidding, Chris, it takes that 100% bid adjustment on mobile and it increases the target CPA by 100% on mobile.
Oh, wow, that's a big difference.
That is something not a lot of people know, but it's in the Google documentation.
Wow.
If say your target CPA is $40. And say you had a 300% bid adjustment on mobile because mobile was working great for manual and that's what you needed. your target CPA, I think I said $100, say I said $100 target CPA, that will now go to $400.
Wow.
300% increase. And you won't it won't even show up anywhere.
That's
It'll
crazy.
Just the system will go, okay, on mobile, this guy won't.
So that means so what that's allowing for is allowing for a much lower conversion rate. So a lot more error, a lot more testing and playing around room for Google there.
Yeah, they're interpreting that as, oh, you said $100 at the ad group level, but on mobile you really mean 400 because you have this plus 300 bid adjustment. So we're going to go for 400, and that means we're going to bid a ton. And if certain keywords have a super low conversion rate, but they end up with a $400 cost per conversion, that's what we're going to get you. So you have to be very aware of things like that. And the reason I honestly don't stick with target CPA that much is I can't stand giving up that control. And I find myself, the only accounts where I'm tempted on it are huge accounts that I'm doing a lot of watching on and a lot of manual work on. And the stakes are so high, you get so much data that those are the ones I'm tempted to do it on. But then when I do it, I get frustrated at the lack of control. And I have not seen results that have just blown me away to the point where I've said, wow, I need to stop doing manual. I'm going to stick with target CPA. So I don't do it that much. But the one time I will do it, Chris, is I have a strategy. It's on the opposite end of the spectrum. I'm advertising for like AdWords management for my business on search. And you know that's a horrible market to advertise on. The cost per click is very high. There's a lot of irrelevant informational clicks going on because people are looking for things. And I have not had a lot of success just going United States, AdWords management agency, $120 bids. That gets pretty costly pretty quick. At the same time, when I throw in broad match, AdWords management agency, AdWords management companies, and low bids, manual, I get a lot of junk. AdWords login, AdWords help number, because that's what the low bids get. But I don't want to do high bids on your broad because it could get crazy. So one thing I found success on is get some conversions, but then do pure broad so you have a wide area to play with. This is a United States campaign, AdWords management company, AdWords management agency, target CPA, Google, this is the CPA I want. And I have seen that the system is smart enough, if I have the right negative keywords in there and blocked out the obvious ones, I'll start getting a lot of traffic on like AdWords management agency position 5.2, but a good cost per click and the kind of cost per conversion I want. The volume's not very high because I don't want to pay that much for these leads, but the system is smart enough to scan everything out there. And to me, it's been smarter than doing pure broad low bid. So if you're running a national campaign on high volume searches or even low volume searches, and you're not having a lot of success manually because it's the market dynamics are just not what you want, I would try out target CPA. The system, it's so big, the market we're playing in, AdWords searches, broad nationally, the system has a lot to work with. So I've had success doing that. So if you've had a really tough campaign to crack that has a lot of data opportunities, I like doing target CPA on those where I failed and I can't really do it. But then when I can do it and run it great manually, I don't really like switching over. But when I fail, I do go to target CPA because I have seen results I've been impressed with.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I mean, there's something about what Google knows in the back end, you know, based on the person's affinity for searches or the way the person's searching or the previous five searches that the person was doing.
Right. Or the websites they visited.
Yeah. They can use that information. And that's the kind of stuff that I think automatic bidding is extremely powerful for that reason. And I think you hit on a really good distinction between the two, something that we as managers could never do. We could never build a funnel that says if they do this search and then this search and then this search, show them an ad now. You know, that's not that's not something that we can implement ourselves. That's not
right.
Something
if
we
they
do.
If they searched advertising agencies, if they searched outsource AdWords 2 weeks ago, and a week ago they searched AdWords Manager, but then today they're searching improve my AdWords ROI. We're not able to tell, okay, that person's in the market for an AdWords manager for this broad AdWords management agency keyword. Let's pop Jason's ad in there, position 4, and see if it gets clicked on for the kind of CPA wants. We can't do that manually. And that's where that target CPA, we shouldn't even talk about how that works because we don't even know.
Don't even know. It's a mystery.
And a good rule of thumb, Chris, is probably it's a lot more complex and there's a lot more data points than we probably aware of.
I mean, there has to be.
I think that's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, the amount of data that Google's going to be using for this is something we don't even mess with. We don't even have access to it, right? I mean, we only have access to a very limited amount of information. They've just given us, you know, I say just in the scale of things, they've only just recently given us demographics and, you know, things like that. So, I mean, this is they're slowly hand out some of these things for us to use.
Now, Chris, let me ask you, target CPA versus maximize conversions. I'm always doing target CPA. I'm always focusing on that different ad groups. The nice thing about it, you can put in different target CPAs for different kind of ad groups. I can't even remember the last time I used maximized conversions. It's such a great sounding name, but what does that mean? Like, I kind of don't like it because different ad groups have different conversions that are worth different things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like my house painting ad group might be worth a lot less than my remodeling or contractor ad group. So that's why I've kind of never been too attractive to maximize conversions. Do you use that ever? Or when we're talking about automated for conversions, are you talking target CPA as well?
Target CPA is where I go because I feel like target CPA for some clients that have enough volume in their conversions, that's the next step. I don't want you to maximize conversions because that's what I've been trying to do. What I want Google to be able to do with their additional data, with their algorithm, is to pull my cost per acquisition down. That's what the CPA is referring to. So that's,
or get me way, way more at the same.
Right. Or bring up the conversion rate. Yeah, exactly. So,
but I don't want to just like what if, that's a great point. What if my cost per conversion goes 5 times more expensive? But technically gets me more conversions,
right?
Or the max conversions. It's kind of scary.
Like, I have my budget set to 200 a day and I'm not spending it all. And suddenly I turn on maximize conversions and says, and then it just starts flooding me with clicks. And yeah, I got more conversions, but I'm also spending a ton more. So yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think there's a difference there. And what I tend to guide my campaigns towards is spending as little as they have to in order to garner their goals of what they want. So there's always a fine line between, hey, Chris, we want more conversions. Well, we're really maximizing this area. You're at like a 95% search impression share. You know, you're getting the types of stuff you want. And unless we start bordering into some of the higher funnel, less valuable stuff, there's nowhere else to go. And I feel like that's where the maximized conversion starts to sometimes kind of pull me to. I want to refine, not just saturate.
Right. Looking at the other options for automated bid, I don't even know what target ROAS is, target return on average spend.
I think what that's referring to is something you and I don't mess with much, which is return on ad spend. So that's going to be having more to do when someone has a shopping campaign or has a very specific checkout and they have transaction values built into the system. So as you know, most of the time, most clients don't put in an acquisition value or a transaction value into a phone call because they just don't know what that is. You talked about that in one of your infamous episode of profitable AdWords, which I think was wonderful. But in reality, I don't think it's very practical for a lot of people because they just don't go to that kind of detail. You know, they just don't do it.
Right.
But I think that's where the ROA, the target ROAs, automated bidding kind of lies.
Right. Now, the final one is target outranking share. We've talked about this. This is where you can put in a competitor's domain and then tell Google whenever you see their bid, whenever you see them bidding on one of my auctions, increase my bid by X percent and show up higher than them. Chris, or I guess in some cases we had some.
Yeah, we talked about using some, it.
I don't know if you can show up lower, but you can play with it. But Chris, funny story about this. We had a competitor that we thought was just showing up all the time, above us all the time. And that's what the client thought, because that's what we would see in the preview tool and even some live searches. But then when I looked at the search auction insights, they were showing up like on only 20% of our market share, and their position was below us on average. So the preview tool was not kind of conveying the story to the client, but the client thought they were getting killed by this other competitor. So we try target outranking share, And all of a sudden, our bids go way down because apparently that other person wasn't the big bad monster we thought they were. And it kind of just like we stopped showing up on all the stuff we want to show up on. So I would just warn people to just be careful with that. And really, I mean, we don't get all the data, so it's not the best feeling to look at your Search Auction Insights report and be like, okay, that's the full story. But at the same time, from what I've seen, Chris, that's usually the most accurate. And even when you're talking live Google search results, clients will be like, look, this guy's always above me, but maybe he's only targeting 5 keywords. Maybe his budget's 10% of our budget. And as soon as he gets his 5 clicks a day, they stop showing him. It's so hard to know what really people are doing out there. So as tempting as target outranking share is, the one or two times I've tried to use it, it just kind of screwed us up because the system was seeing different things than we thought what was going on.
Yeah. When it comes, this is not something I use ever really. The only time I ever use this is on a rule based thing. It's on a specific bid strategy for, one keyword, one ad group. So what I'll do instead is I'll say when this competitor is overlapping us for this keyword or this ad group, always outbid them by this much, or make sure you get this much additional bid to make sure we outbid that competitor.
Wow. So you're able to turn that on at a rule level with manual bidding on at the settings level?
Yes. It means that we don't necessarily have manual bidding for that one keyword anymore.
When that advertiser shows up.
Right, right. But now, yeah, okay. You can apply it to at least, it's been a while since I've done it. I know that I've done it in the past. With the new interface, a lot of what we talked about or, I might have experience with may have changed. But to my best knowledge, this is absolutely something that you can apply. Say, when competitor A shows up overlapping on this keyword, you are allowed to bid 100% more to outrank mm-hmm. that person. And you're absolutely right. This is something that, guys, if you're listening to this, don't get excited and say, oh, we can finally beat competitor A. Always take into account of what Jason talked about there. Look at your overlap and your outranking percentage numbers. If your overlap right. is only like 5% and then their outranking is 95%, that means they're showing up a couple times above you and then the rest, they're nowhere else, right? So they've got someone running their AdWords campaign that's bidding like $50 and they have a $50 budget and they blow through their budget basically in 2 clicks and then it's over. And then right. you have the rest of the day to control the top of the ads. So, I mean, this is absolutely something I'd be very careful about, Jason. I think you well stated that there, because this is, like you always said, if I were to have something behind me, a quote from Jason behind me, it would be, don't focus on your competitors. Focus on what you need as an advertiser, not what your competitors are doing. That's absolutely not
right.
a value.
Right. And yeah, Chris, I think if we could kind of summarize the points we've hit on, I mean, maybe there's someone out there listening who loves automated bidding for maximized clicks and they do it on every campaign and have great results. This is just the results Chris and I have seen over the years and how we look at the bidding options. So when it comes to manual versus automated, almost all the time we're manual. But on the times when we do use automated, maximize clicks, top of search page location, we'd be looking at those options if we're trying to learn a market, if we're just trying to get something going, get some data back. Target CPA, the times we would use that one is when we can't get the job done on manual, can't crack the code and want a different look and see what if the system, knowing everything it knows, can do better than us. I think that would kind of summarize it, Chris. And then just day to day, when we're doing a good job, we like manual given all the control. I think the final question, Chris, people would say, well, what about enhanced CPC on manual? Checking that box. That used to mean that Google could increase or decrease your bid by up to or down by 30% based on what it knows about a user and their likelihood to convert. That's since been changed, Chris, to 100%. They can increase the bid. I'm not sure what they can decrease it by, but they can increase the bid by up to 100%. Depending on the value or the likelihood of date wow. of an individual user converting. Yeah, that's something they changed recently that not a lot of people know. So if you're bidding $5 and you're getting a cost per click of $8 and you don't have any bid adjustments on, just the enhanced CPC. That's one reason why that might be going on. I always use this, Chris. I always check it. I've had good results. Google advises it. And the way I look at it is like, yeah, I'm going to try it out. If they know what they know about a user and they think they're likely to convert, yeah, let's bid a little more and see if it pays off.
I
always use it.
The only thing I wish is sometimes I wish there was a, you know, because you have different bid modifications at the device level and location level and demographics and things like that. I wish that there was a way to look at the search query data and see like how much of an influence the enhanced CPC made on a specific bid. Because then
that'd be great to know.
I would know that, oh, wow, that garnered, it increased 30% because of this, because of what it knew outside of my data, you know, outside of the search term, outside of the bid auction. That would be great to have that information, but I agree with you. I think overall I use the checkbox unless it's an extremely sensitive campaign that I really need to watch. You know, the client's really, you know, going to get upset about increased CPC levels or something like that. So yeah, I think it's just pretty much a go-to.
Cool. Well, Chris, I think we did a kind of an advanced talk on bidding options today. So on our next episode, maybe we could do advanced talk on how we do manual bidding and just how we work through different scenarios there. So I think that'd be a good follow-up episode. Yeah. But everyone should know, Chris and I are going on a little retreat for a couple weeks. We're going to be off the air. It's our annual July team building retreat.
Special days. Special days.
Yeah, a lot of woodwork, a lot of fall and catch me kind of stuff, a lot of ropes involved in the woods there.
Swimming.
A lot of bug spray. Swimming.
Yeah. Bathing suits. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yep, turkey burgers. It's going to be a good time.
Turkey. I love those. Yeah, with the vegan cheese. That's good. Turkey. You ever had vegan cheese with turkey burgers? It's like, you know, it's like a mix.
My favorite kind of hamburger these days is a turkey burger, vegan cheese, one bun.
Wow.
Just one bun. I don't need both buns.
On the top or on the bottom? Which one do you? Bottom. On the bottom. Because you don't want to.
On the bottom. Yeah. Yeah. You gotta hold it.
You gotta hold it. Use your hand to hold it and then use your mouth to just bite the top. Yeah. That sounds so practical. Yeah. That's such a good idea.
Yeah. And if we have lettuce, I'll put a piece of lettuce on it.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, that's it. So I'm looking forward to it. Unfortunately, no one else is going to be there. It's just you and me and your K-Swiss. So that's what we're going to be doing for 2 weeks. But we'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about advanced manual AdWords bid work. And in the meantime, everybody, we've been effing stopped at 98 reviews on iTunes for like 3 weeks now. It's really angering me. It's really stopping the flow.
Yeah.
Old listeners will know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And come on, guys. Get us up above 100 and continue sharing the show.
And he'll say yes again. He'll scream in your ear. You want him to scream in your ear?
Yeah.
Get those last two reviews. And thank you for all those other people that have left reviews. I read them every day. I feel blue. I go in and read those and I feel good about myself again. And then I talk to my wife. So I appreciate that, guys.
Yep. Love the wife. So everybody, thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on the Paid Search Podcast.